Okay. Is it working now? Well, Timothy has been a real help to me. I've been able to seek counsel from him recently, and just really respect him. I really respect his understanding of the Word, his love for the Savior, and I speak for all of those on the pastoral team at Sovereign Grace. We really respect him, and we pray for you as a church regularly. And so I'm just reminded as I come in how, though we meet with different assemblies, we're all more unified in Christ than we are in any assemblies we meet. It kind of reminds me, as I was thinking about it this morning, it reminds me of the Pro Bowl, if you're a sports fan, because you've got all these guys from different teams wearing different helmets, but the jersey's what matters in that game, right? And the jersey is a more unified bond than the helmet. And our jersey is Christ. We're in Christ. And so I'm really just thankful to fellowship with all of you together. And the bond that we have in Jesus Christ means more than anything. So thank you for having me. I'm excited to get into God's Word with you. And if you have your Bible, I'm going to be speaking from the book of Colossians. Is this water for me? Thank you. And I'm going to, I wasn't sure which version of the Bible you use. I have the English Standard Version. I hope that's okay. I'm going to preach from that version. One of my favorite books, Colossians. And I'll be speaking from chapter 3 primarily. And while you're turning there, I'd just like to share a brief story while you're turning to Colossians chapter 3 that I think is really fitting for this passage. And it's a story, some of you may have heard it, about a baby eagle, I guess you call that an eaglet, who was in his nest up in a cliff high on the mountainside, and a gust of wind blew this eaglet out of her nest. And she fell and she fluttered and she couldn't fly yet. She landed in this chicken farm. Right in the middle of a chicken farm. So she couldn't fly. She's watching all these other winged creatures that resemble her, and she's thinking, hey, I guess these are my people, so I'm going to do what they do. And she starts doing whatever it is chickens do, which I guess they just walk around and peck grain off of the ground. And so she's just doing it. And over time, they began to accept her. She began to think, hey, I'm just one of them, right? And so she lived her life as a chicken, grew up, noticed she was a little bigger, but seemed to fit in. And one day, she looks up in the sky, and she sees this beautiful, majestic bird flying overhead. And she's like, wow, what is that? And at the same time, it's a mature bald eagle. He looks down, he sees her. He's thinking, what on earth is that? And he flies down, he lands on a fence post, and he says, hey, what are you doing? She says, what do you mean, what am I doing? I'm just doing what I do. This is who I am. This is where I live. And he explained to her, no, this isn't who you are. And he grabbed her by her wings. He took her up high in the sky, and he dropped her and let her go. And she didn't know what to do. And he explained, spread your wings out. And he told her what to do. And she caught wind, and she began to fly. And she said, this is great. I never knew who I really was. I never knew I could do this. And that story reminds me of what God wants to show us in this passage this morning. God has given us a new identity in Jesus Christ. And because of that new identity, like Will pointed out this morning, we need to change the way that we think and align that with what God says in His Word. And based on that, we need to change the way that we act. But it's all because of what He has done. So if I had to give this passage or this message a title, I would call it, Become Who You Are. More importantly, Become Who You Are in Christ. So let's read this passage together. I'll read from Colossians 3, verses 1 through 17. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let's pray and just ask God for His help this morning. Lord, thank You for the privilege of opening Your Word together. Thank You for giving us Your Word, guiding us, Lord. Help us to align our minds with Your Word this morning. Lord, I declare my dependence upon You for teaching Your Word this morning. Lord, I can do nothing apart from You. And so I pray that You would just help me this morning. You would fill me with Your Spirit, that You would help me to teach Your Word with truthfulness. Help me not to speak any error. And help us all as a church to be built up, Lord, to be strengthened in You, Jesus, and to become more like You as a result of this message, Lord. And we thank You. Thank You as we just read. We give thanks to the Father through You in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the first main point that I think that God would want us to hear in this passage and in this book as a whole is that our identity has been changed. We don't want to separate what we just read, these 17 verses, from the book of Colossians as a whole. So it's built on chapters 1 and 2. And in chapters 1 and 2, we have a whole bunch of wonderful truths about what God has done for us and in our lives. And then in this passage, we have some of that, but we also have a whole bunch of do's and don'ts. So in this passage, we've got put off these things. We've got a list of things that we're not supposed to do as Christians. And we've got a list of things that we're to put on that we're supposed to do as Christians. But one of the important things about God's Word is we never want to disconnect the do's and don'ts of God's Word from what God has done. That's the hinge. That's everything that the do's and don'ts hinge on. And we don't want to separate those two. Because what God has done in our lives and for us gives us fuel and faith to be able to live the Christian life. And so we see things back in in chapter 2, for example, let's just glance at that back in chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Something that we don't want to forget as we read this passage. Verse 11 says, "In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him. You were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive. God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses." So we need to remember that God acted on us. God made us alive. God has changed our identity. God did it, and that's why Paul starts out this chapter, "If then you have been raised with Christ," or your translation may say, "Since then you have been raised with Christ." So we see that Paul is talking to people who have been raised with Christ, who have been made alive by God, who've been acted on by God, and united with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's very important, and I just want to point out, in verse 1 of chapter 3, "If then you have been raised," you have been raised is not something that you've done. It's a passive verb. It's something that was done to you. If then you have been raised, and we just saw back in chapter 2 that God has made us alive. So that is so important for us to get. God has done this so that now we can do this. And we just read this big list of things that we're not to do and we are to do as a Christian. And those things mirror, that we're to do, or mirror our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, God, what God has done is the root. And now, He tells us do the fruit, right? And we don't ever want to separate those two things. It's so important. And personally, it just gives me faith to be able to live this kind of Christian life. I couldn't do it without God working in me. We can't do it on our own. We'll just fail. But this gives us such faith. This gives us such hope. And that's why I love this book of Colossians. And I love God's Word. And just to remind us again, which I think we'll be reminded of many times throughout this passage, what was said this morning earlier, just we need to realign our thinking with God's Word. We need to, it's kind of like this old GPS, whenever the GPS units first came out. We got one for Christmas one time, and we were going home from Indiana. We live about 30 minutes from here. And this thing kept going out of whack. It was taking us up Gaswell roads and stuff. And it was a piece of junk. It constantly needed recalibrated. So we had to program this thing and then do this thing with it. And it had to recalibrate all the time. It was worthless. And that's what we'll be if we're not constantly recalibrating our mind with God's Word. We just get out of whack so easily. And that's why God tells us to transform our mind, to renew our mind with His Word. So I just want to reemphasize, that's what we're doing this morning. That's what we do when we get into God's Word. So, look at verse 3. Verse 3 gives us a wonderful truth. "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ." This just reemphasizes our new identity. If you're a Christian, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, as Matt said this morning, you have died. You've died to your former way of life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my favorite verses, it says the same thing. "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come." So if you've trusted in Christ, whether you've trusted in Christ years ago, you've been a Christian for 20 years, or you trusted in Christ today, you are a new creation. The old has passed. The new has come. And that's so refreshing and hope-building. And that's what Paul's getting at when he says, if you've been raised with Christ, if you have died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Jesus put it this way. Jesus said, you must be born again. And when we were born again, the old you died. I don't think any of you knew the old me before I was a Christian, but you wouldn't have liked me very much, I don't think. I mean, you might have liked me, but if you really knew me, if you really knew the things that I thought in my heart, you probably wouldn't have liked me. But Jesus changed that. And He's constantly changing that. He's constantly changing us. And so, I love what Paul told the Corinthians to get this point across to them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, he said, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And then this is my favorite part. And such were some of you. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So, however we have labeled ourselves, before we were Christians, you might have had some of these labels. People might have labeled you some of these things. You might have thought of yourself as a drug user, a drug addict, an alcoholic, sex addict, money lover. You might have been on the other spectrum. You might have thought of yourself as a really good person who followed all the rules and did everything right, and you had pride in your heart. But however you labeled yourself before you were a Christian, it's now been replaced. It's been replaced by Jesus Christ. He is your new identity. That's why Paul says, when Christ, who is your life, Christ is our life now. We're not any of those things, any of those ways that we thought of ourselves. And Satan wants to lie to us all the time and tell you that you are this or you are that, something other than Christ. But Christ is our life. That's why I love the bond that we share, the fellowship that we can share, though we don't meet every week. I don't meet with all of you every week, but Christ, that's who we are now. We have that. We're wearing that jersey. That's who we are. Christ, who is your life. He's our new identity. So what does this mean for us, that Christ is our new identity? Well, it means a great deal. And one thing that it means, among many, is that we're no longer citizens of this world. This isn't our true home anymore. And because we're no longer citizens of this world, it's just another reason to change the way that we think, to change the way we process things, to change our priorities. And that's what Paul, I think, is telling us in these next verses. He says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. So we're to seek the things that are above. We're to set our mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. This is all a part of realigning our mind with God's Word. When we seek the things above, we're seeking Christ. And we're seeking all of the wisdom and knowledge and truth contained in Him. And this book tells us that all wisdom, knowledge, and truth is contained in Him. And so, in a sense, this book, the Bible, is our telescope to seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. You can't seek Christ apart from the truth written in this book, in the Bible. This is where we find Christ. This is where we find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are in Christ. And we pray that our prayers must be informed by His Word, and we seek Him by setting our minds on these things, not on things that are on the earth. And so every Christian can do this. If you've been raised with Christ, remember, if you've been raised with Christ, that's who Paul's talking about, then this is something that you can do. And so God tells us to seek the things that are above because we have a new identity in Christ. But changing the way we think and seeking the things that are above, that's a start, and that's where we need to start. But that's not where He stops. That should affect what we do. Our change of thinking should inform a change in behavior and actions. I love what an old-time pastor named J.C. Ryle once said. He said that our thoughts are the parents of our words and deeds. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. I think that's biblical. Our thoughts, that's why God wants us to change the way we think, set our mind on things above, renew our minds. Because when we do that, that's going to inform the things we say that come out of our mouth and the things that we do, right? Our behavior is going to change. And so, let's look at the next passage, verses 5 through 11, and see how that's going to affect us, how it's going to call us to align our actions up with our new identity. Verses 5 through 11, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked." See that? "In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now, you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge." See that? "Which is being renewed in knowledge." Our mind, our thoughts are being transformed. "After the image of its Creator, Jesus Christ. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." That is so great. This is why I love the book of Colossians. It just helps us to remember who we are. Christ is all and in all. This would be point two. I think what Paul wants us to really get from this. Stop being who we are not. He's telling us in this passage to put to death a number of things. He's telling us who we are not. So we need to stop being who we are not. Now, I know that you probably noticed that Christians don't become perfect the instant they're saved, right? I don't think anyone here would claim to be perfect. Although we've been truly forgiven of the penalty of our sins by the Lord Jesus Christ's death, and we've been freed from the power of sin by our Lord's resurrection, we still have the presence of sin in our lives. And it's an influence. It tempts us. And so we have what Paul describes in verse 5 as something earthly in us that we're called to put to death. We have anger, lust, evil desires. We're tempted. We at times crave sins. And I know these temptations can be different for all of us. You know, it's kind of like if we all wrote down what our favorite foods were to eat, that we would have a big list of a whole bunch of different things, right? We have different appetites. Well, we all have different sinful appetites too, I think. We're all more tempted to go one way or another and disobey our Lord in different ways. And He gives lists of these things all throughout His Word. And it's really important for us to know personally where we're more tempted to sin. Just to be aware of that. Because He calls us to put those things to death. And His reason is, and I love this, back to verse 11, these things no longer define us. He's saying, listen, here, here there isn't Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. He's given all these categories and labels again. And you know, we're all different kinds of people, but that's not what defines us anymore. But Christ is all. We're under the unity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's our new identity. We've got to remember that. These things no longer define us. These categories no longer define us. We're under one category, and it's Christ. And that's what we need to remember, and that's how we can put these things to death and kill them. Look again at verse 7 in this passage. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. For years after I became a Christian, trusted in Jesus, I felt I didn't know a lot of these truths. I mean, I read them, I read my Bible, I was taught these truths, but I sort of just glossed over them. I was sort of blind to what they really meant for me. And for years, I felt defeated in certain areas of my life. I just felt like I'm never going to get victory over this sin or that sin. And I think that's common. I think that many of us can feel that way. We just feel powerless over sins. We feel enslaved to certain sins. We feel defeated, like we're never going to get victory. But do you see the problem with that statement? We feel. And our feelings aren't the highest standard for us anymore. We're raising our feelings when we do that over top of the standard of the truth of God's Word. God's Word is the highest standard for us now. That has been so helpful for me personally, because I can still feel this way. I can still feel defeated by different temptations and sins that Satan puts in front of me. Like, I just can't do this. But no, God's Word says He won't let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. But with every temptation, He'll bring a way of escape. Now that is truth that we need to renew our minds with. We can't go by our feelings. They'll lead us down the wrong path. Follow your heart, you know, is popular. That's just, it's not biblical though. We need to follow God's Word. That's why Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." We need to follow God's Word. You know, one of the biggest ways that God showed me, that's just a personal thing that I would encourage you to do if you're struggling in any area like that, and I encourage everyone to do it because we can all struggle like that, is just to meditate, take a season and meditate on Romans chapter 6. It's been the most helpful passage for me personally in this area. We won't read it, but in Romans chapter 6, we learn that because we've been raised with Christ, we can walk in newness of life. Because we've been raised with Christ, the body of sin, the power of sin has been brought to nothing in us. Because we've been raised with Christ, we're no longer enslaved to sin. Because we've been raised with Christ, we've been set free from sin, and we're to consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, I'd encourage you, take a season, meditate, pray through Romans 6. Ask God to renew your mind. Timothy said, "Don't give this message without telling them the rattlesnake story." So I'm gonna obey him and tell you the rattlesnake story. The reason I'm gonna tell you this is because it's a great picture of this truth. I love rattlesnakes, and I just find them fascinating. And where I live, if you go down 119 toward Blairsville, you see that mountain, the Chestnut Ridge there. I live on that mountain. And we've got a lot of rattlesnakes around us. And I grew up there. My family, when I was growing up, you guys are going to think I'm weird, but I was, my dad, my uncles, my grandfather were all a part of the local rattlesnake roundups, you know, and we would gather these rattlesnakes, and then these crazy guys would get in this ring and this cage and like see how many they could throw in a bag at one time, you know, in a certain time period. So they would have these contests, and I was little then. I was like four, five, six, and I can remember when we had them gathered in these pens, my job was to throw dead chipmunks in to feed them. But anyways, so I've always been fascinated by them, and a couple years ago, I guess now, some of the folks that in the small group that I'm a part of wanted to taste rattlesnake meat. So I had a neighbor who had some on his property, and he wanted them off, and he knew right where they were. They were denned up in this crop of rocks. So I got my tree pruners, and I went over, and I found one laying, and I lopped his head off because I wanted to get rid of any risk of getting bit and having venom in me. So lopped the head off, and I threw him in my sack, and I brought him home. And if you've ever killed a snake, these things don't die easy. And rattlesnakes are huge, and they're mostly muscle. So this thing's like as big as my forearm, like 4 feet long, and it's just huge and powerful. And I got it out of the bag, and I tried to skin it, and it was just like it was still alive. It was squirming and recoiling and doing all this stuff, and it didn't have a head. It was dead, I would think, legally dead, but it didn't know that. It wasn't acting like it. And so I couldn't get this thing skinned, and so I took a clamp and I clamped its little stub where its head was to the handrail outside going up my steps, and I stretched it out, and I finally got the skin off, and I got all the entrails out, and I'm left with this piece of muscle around a rib cage, and it's still fighting with me. And the craziest thing of this thing was, I had a pot of water boiling. Not, my wife wouldn't let me do this in the kitchen, so it was on the grill outside, and I can understand that. So I got this pot of water boiling on the grill, and I wanted to boil it to get so its meat would separate from its rib cage. But the whole way there to this pot of water, it was like he knew what was coming, and this was the weirdest part. No head, little stub, just a piece of meat, and I have him in this hand, and he starts like cocking back and like striking at my other arm while we're walking up the steps to the pot. I don't know how that works. He didn't have a head, he couldn't see, he didn't have a brain, but he knew to strike. Like this little stub's just subbing me the whole way up. And it was really creepy. And so I got to the pot and I threw him in. It gets even better. I shove him in the pot and I put the lid on and I think, okay, now he's going to stop. And I turn to walk away and I hear the lid fall off and the thing jumped out and it was rolling around on the ground. And so I had to hold that lid down and fasten it down, and it took a long time for him to stop. And I think God let that crazy thing happen just to be helpful to people as an illustration of what the power of Satan and remaining sin in our lives really is. Jesus defanged Satan when he died on the cross. He took the power out of him. He lopped his head off. The power of sin in us is defeated. We're no longer enslaved to sin. But that's sort of what it's like. It's kind of really still there. It's acting like it's alive. It's acting like it has power over us. It wants us to think that. Satan lies to us all the time and tells us that. But you know what? It doesn't have any venom anymore. And so, that crazy dead snake is a great picture of what sin and what is earthly in us is like in the lives of true believers of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, we're to put it to death. So in one sense, Jesus Christ put it to death on the cross. He dealt it the death blow. But we're to put it to death. We're to remind it it's dead, even when it's acting alive. And how do we do that? How do we kill these things that are earthly in us? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, evil desires. Well, one way is to do what we read back in verse 2. We're to set our minds on things above, not on things of the earth. And I notice that Paul uses the same word for those things we're to put to death, those earthly things, as he does with what we're not to set our minds on. And I was thinking about this, and you know, back I told you how for years I felt defeated and I just couldn't get victory over some of these things. You know what I was doing as I look back? I was setting my mind on those things much more than I was setting my mind on Jesus Christ. I was looking at it was like they were this dark shadow, this dark cloud over my life, and I just kept thinking about all these things, these sins that I was doing, and the Lord tells us, no, set your mind on things above. We're to set our mind on Christ, and that's just another reason it's so important to be in God's Word, renewing our minds and focusing more on Him. And this reminded me of Peter, the story about Peter when he was walking on the water. Remember, Jesus called him out of the boat. And what happened when Peter looked at the wind and the waves? And then what happened when he looked at Jesus Christ? That's what it's like. So I would encourage you, and I still encourage myself this all the time, when I start thinking about my sins and start thinking about just how it's ruling me and how I can't seem to get victory, turn. Don't look at the wind and the waves. Look at Jesus Christ. Remember that He died for us to forgive us of those sins, and remember that He lopped the head off of them and they no longer have power over us. So that's been one of the most helpful things for me personally in how to kill what is earthly in us. So I would say that section tells us stop acting like someone you're not. And again, this doesn't hinge or this doesn't work disconnected from what God has done. We've got to remember that. It gives us faith. So we've seen who we are. We've seen how we're to think. We've seen what we're not. And finally, I think in this next section that we're going to read here, Paul would tell us to be who we are. Be who we are in Christ. And before we read this, this reminds me of moving from like setting our minds and realigning our thinking and knowing these truths to doing these truths and living them out. Reminds me of this cartoon I used to watch when I was a kid. And this is like probably back in the 80s, 90s. It was G.I. Joe. I don't know if any of you guys have watched that. But G.I. Joe would always come on at the end of the cartoon. And he would give this like public service announcement type thing about not touching downed power lines or drinking poisonous drain cleaner or something like that. And then he would say, and now you know, and knowing is half the battle. And I didn't know what that, I kept thinking, well, when's he going to tell us the other half of the battle? And but now I know what he meant. We know these things, but we got to do them, right? Book of James, you know, it's not helpful to just know. You got to be a doer of the Word. And so, that's where Paul's moving here. We know what not to do. We know how to think. But what do? We become who we are. We become who we are in Christ. And that's what we're going to see here. A list of things to put on. A list of things to do. Verses 12 through 17. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So here's our call to action. This is what we're to do. And it's just so helpful. I'm not going to have the time to expound on each one of these things today, but I encourage you to meditate on these things because it's just doing what Jesus said. It's focusing and setting our mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And, you know, we can really tend to want to focus on that last passage, put these things to death, and forget about this. But for me personally, it's always more helpful to focus on the things we're to do. I'm not saying forget about the things we're to not do, because the do's and the don'ts of the Bible go together, but it's really helpful for me to focus more on these things. And these are really just characteristics of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what God's goal is for all of us, to conform us to the image of Christ. And so, we should focus on these things. We should meditate on these things. And I just encourage you to do that. So, just looking through this list, what are some fitting things for Christians, for who we are now, for our new identity? How do we know how to become what we are? You know, when you look through this list, you see a lot of things. You can ask questions about these things. Do you respond in meekness when someone provokes you or slanders you? That's what Jesus did, to be like Him. The next time your kids are going crazy and you had a hard day and you're tired, or the next time your boss puts unreal demands on you and it's just been a rough time, are you patient and kind like Jesus? Or do you have a complaint against someone? Well, what is fitting for a Christian is to forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. So, we've been forgiven. Now we forgive. We want to be like our Lord. We're tempted to grumble and complain all the time about things. Rather, this passage would call us to find something to be thankful for, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And it says right before that, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And just personally, when I am really stressed or tempted to grumble and complain, I have about a half hour drive to work, and I'll just put some Christian songs on, and that really turns my heart to be thankful to the Lord. Just something that helps me. So, we're to be in God's Word, and I love how He ends it there. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, in this lesson, we've seen that we have a new identity, and that is Christ. And so He's our new identity, but in another sense, we represent Him to the world. Really, we are His identity to people in the world. And so whatever we do in word or deed, we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't want you to feel, overwhelmed, because these are lists, and I know sometimes we can feel overwhelmed when we got all these lists. Okay, I got to remember not do this, not do this, do this, do this, do this. But really, just remember that we can do these things because of what Christ did. And the Christian life is not striving to be something you're not. It's just becoming who we are in Christ. And with the power of the help of the Holy Spirit, we can do that. And so, I hope this has encouraged you as it's encouraged me. Let's just pray and ask God to apply these truths to our heart. Lord, thank You for Your Word, and thank You most of all, Father, for sending Your Son to come to this earth to live a perfect life that we couldn't live, and to take our place and die on the cross and suffer Your full wrath, the penalty for our sins, those who trust in Him. Lord, I pray, I don't know everyone here, I pray that everyone here would trust in Jesus Christ to take away their sins. And I pray, Lord, that we would all understand the power that You have given us in Your Holy Spirit by the power of Christ's resurrection, because You have dealt Satan and sin a death blow. We can walk in a new way of life. And I pray that everyone here would fight to believe that and would fight to live that out. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.